Excellent, excellent. Thank you, David. Now, continuing with the theme of the web, we're going to have JD come up, and he's going to get his computer set up to show us what web apps will look like in the future. So this is progressive web apps, which we're bringing to the Windows desktop in the next version of Windows, and we're really excited to show off what that's like. I think JD has a little twist at the end. So JD, if you're ready, I'll hand the stage to you.
Cool. All right. Hi. So I work on the Web Apps and Frameworks team at Microsoft for Edge, and I'm a JavaScript and web app developer. How many people are web app developers here? Hey, all right. Today I'm going to be talking about progressive web apps. And so what that is we have a perfectly usable web app here, and I'm going to just show you it working. All right. So it works. It's great, but we want to take it to the next level, and we want to enhance this. So say that we want to be able to work offline or add functionality for things like WinRT APIs. You can do that with a progressive web app. So let's see just one of the first enhancements here, and that is, let me close out of this stuff. All right, more closing. Okay, so we have a side-by-side here of taking that same web app and adding a service worker to it to enable offline and caching. So what a service worker is, how many people know what a service worker is before I get in? Okay, so a service worker is a almost like a web worker, except that it allows you to run in a separate process independent of the browser frame. And it can do things, once it is installed and registered, it can do things like intercept your network request and redirect it to a cached resource. Or it can do things like push notifications. In this case, we're going to show you just using it to cache a resource and load it faster than visiting a website, negotiating the caching headers with the server, returning the content. So let's look at the side-by-side. Okay. Okay, so the first side is after the service worker, and the second side is before the service worker. So you can see that after the service worker, your web app is able to be interacted with and loads significantly faster. And it's still going without the service worker. So great. So with that, if you have service workers enabled, you'll be able to get that benefit. But if you don't, it doesn't destroy your app. That's why it's progressive. It enhances the app when the feature's available. And so let's go ahead and look at that through. Open this back up. So how do we take it from adding a service worker to turning it into a progressive web app? Because just having a service worker doesn't enable it to become a PWA or a progressive web app. You have to add a manifest to do that. And that's really simple. It's basically a meta tag in your HTML page. But if you want a little assistance in creating that manifest file, we have PWA Builder for you. So using PWA Builder, we can get started and enter our URL. So let's take the URL of this sample app here, and go down here, and pop it in, let's see, .net, there we go, and get started. So what this is doing is scanning the website URL and looking up the HTML file and seeing all of the resources there to autocomplete and generate a manifest file for you so you can have a PWA. And you can see here that it fills in things like the website URL, background color. It's found inside the HTML the metadata for icons of various sizes and various platforms for you, so you don't have to worry about that. This auto-completes the generation of the manifest file for you and then also gives you guidance on things that you might want to change or correct. So let's say we're happy with the way things look and we want to continue to the next step. The next step here allows us to see some examples of service workers. So say you want to create a service worker that allows you to have your page work offline. This will give you a snippet or a recipe for how to do that. You can also choose to download everything up front and have that stored for offline too. Service workers are really advanced and can do a lot of cool things. So that's why this cookbook allows you to easily copy paste in and get you started doing offline first and caching. So then we want to say, hey, let's publish it. And then we will download our example so we can see what the PWA looks like on Windows. And so let's say we downloaded that. So we'll go over here and check it out. All right. OK, so this is launching our PWA on Windows. And with this, it's got the service worker, it's got the enhancements, but now, because it's a PWA, we'll be able to do a little bit more. So that's installed our PWA. So we can then go over here. And let's see, there it is. OK, looks very similar to the website, the web app that we had. This is basically the web app running inside an app frame. But let's navigate a bit more. We can go here. Let's click into one. And go here. Now you'll notice, whenever we want to deploy an insider build, we use a red button. And so this hardware here, if I push down on it, let's see. Oh, all right. Dun, 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 dun. I'm having connectivity. It might not have synced. Oh, OK. You want to help me out? Oh, are you serious? All right. OK, so I'm going to talk over about what this was. All right, so we have a red button. What this allows you to do is access and interact with hardware, and in this case, the red button, through WinRT APIs. WinRT APIs, I can show you the code for that. Let's go down here. All right, and we have our VS code. OK. So the big surprise here is that this is actually a Surface dial inside the big red button. And that's what's powering this. At the moment, it is not synced up to this laptop, so you can't interact with it. If it was synced up, though, you'd be able to customize the look and feel of the interface, the icons, the actions of this device in your web app. So if you're visiting it from a website, you don't get that extra functionality. But if it's a PWA and it's installed on your system, then that feature lights up for you. So then you can use it. And when you're interacting with the WinRT APIs, it's as simple as detecting for the Windows right here, you can see, detecting for the Windows namespace, and then accessing and controlling parts of the API. So you can see here, we are getting a configuration object. We are customizing the look and feel of icons for the dial, because the dial allows you to select different options as you rotate your dial. And then when you wire it up, it looks just like a traditional kind of DOM element. It's got add event listener. It's got an event object with details. So it's very JavaScript-y for you. So when you're interacting with your web app, things will work. So that's just one example of a PWA adding enhanced functionality and using service workers to improve and optimize your page load time.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. And sorry about that, folks. We'll make sure we demo this again at some point, because it is a lot of fun. We just didn't have that synced up for them. OK, so next up, we have our next recruit, Shen, who's going to come up and talk a little bit about composition. Shen is actually the best looking Brit I know, and you've met both of them, so sorry, Chris, but... So, Shen, the stage is yours. Take it away.
All right. Hi, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So, composition, scary stuff. The first thing I want to ask you guys is, who's ever inherited an application that they didn't want to? Not as many as I thought. Some of you people are very lucky or very shy. So, I'm actually going to walk you through an application that I inherited. It's terrible. The developer made a really shoddy job of it. In fact, to be honest, they didn't even start it, you know, finishing it. So let me quickly run you through what this application is. As you can see, it's the developer's guide to the galaxy. And we have a menu here with sales, marketing, quality assurance, and management. Now, this is actually meant to go to another page, but sloppy developer didn't finish it. So in this case, I'm now going to write live code. Can I get a ooh? No. You guys are too quiet. Live code, no? All right, cool. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write all this live code, which means I will be talking very quickly. I may cry if things don't work out. And more importantly, I'll be typing very quick. But I'll try and walk you through this. So the first thing I want to just do is I'll walk you through the XAML we have here. We have the main page, which you actually saw. Just basically a bunch of borders with some text blocks. And then I have the details page here as well. And as you can see, it's got some developer photo in there with some information. So the first thing I want to do is let's start by with a very simple animation we have here, something new in composition called the show hide animation. So I'm going to create a little helper method first. So let's start by basically doing an apply slide animation here. What I'm going to use, I'm going to use the composition APIs. I'm going to create a scalar animation because it's going from 0 to 1. Duration 750, so you guys can actually see this with the translation X, because that's where I'm moving. And then I'm just going to make sure that it comes from the left into the right, but not all the way, because I didn't like the round edges on the left, to be honest. So what I'm now going to do here is pretty important, because I'm going to say, well, I want them to actually stagger in. So I'm going to set a delay. And I want to make sure that these borders actually move through translation. So it's very important to make sure you set the translation, because if you don't, it goes totally wrong. So here we have it right now. It's very basic, but you get the gist. So the next thing I need to do is I'm going to make sure that as part of my make sure I got that in there. Yeah, so the next thing I need to make sure I'm going to do here is I have to make sure that I put this in the class. Visual Studio is taking a minute to copy and paste here. All right, the next thing I want to do here is I need to make sure, I told you it was a load coding demo, guys. On navigated to, so actually when I navigate to the page, the next thing I need to make sure I do is I need to make sure that I actually do all the usual stuff, you know. Good. This is a good tip. If you're going to navigate them forward, make sure they can get back. Otherwise, it's a bit of hell to pay. And all I'm just doing here is calling my helper method. And these are the UI elements you're seeing there. And I've just got how long I want the delay for. So if this works, I want a round of applause, right, guys? So I'm now going to launch this application. And if things work out, we should see those four things slide in a stagger. All right. So for my next party trick, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to navigate from that main page to the details page to see the ugly photo of the developer that wrote this. So the first thing I need to do here is I need to make sure that I actually wire up something to make sure that basically when we click on one of those items, what we can then do is say, hey, I want you to do a navigation, but I want a connected animation. I want something a bit cooler. So what I'm going to do is say, hey, prepare to animate. So I'm going to take the background, which is purple in this case, and I actually want to just go and change it. And I also want to make sure that I take the sales text I'm typing here, too, before I navigate. Think of this like juggling. This is all it is. I'm saying, in my left hand, I have the juggling balls. These are the things I want to animate. I throw them up in the air, which is this process here. And then what I'm going to do is say, OK, now when I go to my details page, I need to make sure that I catch them at the other end. Because if I don't, it's going to be disastrous. So here we have it. So at the other side now, I'm just going to basically do the thing to make sure they can actually get back, as we said before. And the key thing here is I'm now going to call the connected animation service and just make sure that I can go back, and actually pick up those pieces. So what I've done now is I've thrown those balls up in the air. I'm now saying, OK, cool. I got the background. I'm going to catch it. And now I want you to make sure that we animate when this happens. So what I'm going to do here is now run this animation. And remember, the key thing is that if I can do this in 6-7 minutes, you guys will be able to absolutely rock at your applications, right? So here we go. So we have the first thing you saw there was a staggering. That was an implicit show hide animation we had there. I'm going to click on sales. That's connected animation. What do you think? It's beautiful. Now, you can see here, OK, so I got my connected animations in, which is cool, but this still looks terrible. Can anyone read what's on the text there? I'll take your silence as a no. Great. So what I think we need to do is we need to do some interaction with maybe touch gestures. So what I want to show you next is everyone's familiar with the pinch gesture, right? I want to actually have the text fade in based on the relativity. Sounds quite scientific, doesn't it? I sound quite intelligent. Based on the relativity of you being able to move your fingers. So here we go. So the first thing I need to do here is make sure that I actually go and do use something called the interaction tracker. So the interaction tracker here is basically a state machine. And what this allows me to do is say, hey, state machine, you know what I want you to do? Based on a particular interaction, so in this case, the scale animation, I just want to make sure that you translate that information using something called an expression animation. An expression animation is slightly different, because what I can do is I can provide it a formula, or an expression in this case, and say, hey, what I want you to do is I want you to take the movement of the tracker, and from there, we will then go and do something cool. So in this case, change the opacity. So you can see here, I'm going to create my interaction tracker. It's kind of cool. Now, I know there's a lot of code. It's a bit intimidating at first, but it's totally worth it. So that's my expression that I've got going on there. As you can see, I'm a professional typer. I never make any mistakes, unlike the rest of the guys, amateurs. All right, cool. Wow, I type a lot. OK, here we go. I'm done. So you know the most nerve-wracking bit about this is when you have to hit F5 and you're just hoping things work, because you have no idea really what was being flicking through that quickly. Right, here we go. So the text is missing. This is great. This is looking good so far. Now what I'm going to do is, the key thing here is, with the interaction tracker, it runs in a separate process, so it's fast, it's not part of your application, and more importantly, it takes into consideration things like inertia. So I'm going to be pretty aggressive with my flick here, and you'll see it appears. So again, it's not perfect, I still can't read it, but you can see it's moving with my finger here. So I think the next thing I probably need to do is probably just blur the background as one of my grand finales. And what I'm going to do here is just basically apply the same sort of stuff. Now, the key thing here is the blur expression, and what you're seeing here is using Win2D, so it's pretty quick. But at the same time, once you've done this once or twice, you sort of get the gist of it. It's very simple. It's just remembering the steps the first time, and you're ready to rock and roll the next time. So all I'm doing here is I'm taking a Gaussian blur effect. I'm applying a 0F, which means no blurring at the moment on the pixels. And then what I'm going to do is, from there, I'm just going to say, right, I want you to blur based on the finger movement from my interaction tracker. So this time, when I hit F5, OK, again, that's a showhead animation. Here's my connected animation. And here's my interaction tracker with blurring. All right, guys, if that does not impress you, I don't know what is, right? But wait, there is more. So I still have time, thankfully. So OK, I do have time. So anyway. We all know that once you've finished developing your apps with beautiful composition APIs, I've shown you some of the cool things you can do. But it also means you've got time to do what every line of business developer does. That's write an Easter egg. So using the composition APIs, you can, if you wanted to, build a Compenstein 3D in part of your app. So this is my Easter egg. And as you can see, someone's been messing with my code. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. I'll be around later for questions.
Awesome. Thank you, Shen. Now, we are running really low on time, so we're cutting the game at the end. But I want to make sure that we have time for Mr. UWP Community Toolkit himself. Nicola, take it away.
Thanks, Jeff. So when you say we are out of time, that's we are over 1 minute.
You
right?
have 90 seconds or so to do your 10-minute demo. It'll be fine. Don't worry.
See what I get when I'm last? God. Hi, everybody. So who has heard of the UWP Community Toolkit? Great. So by the end of this, hopefully everybody would have, and you're going to use it. I have some stickers. So if you like, you want some stickers, you should like the session. I'm going to leave them right here. Anyway, so the UWP Community Toolkit is a collection of helpers, controls, animations, all kinds of cool stuff that's actually developed by Microsoft and the community. By now, it's actually mostly developed by the community. Most of the stuff that's in there, it's done by people from the community is actually building stuff for the application and decide, hey, this will be cool for other developers to also use in the application. It's tested, it's done, it's already in there. So if you want to get started with this, we have a really great application in the store. I'm going to go ahead and launch it for you so you can take a look what it is. So if you don't want to run it on your PC, it also runs on phone and on your Xbox. So if you're launching around on your Xbox, you want to play around with some controls, feel free to download this on your Xbox as well. Now, I'm going to build a quick application with using the toolkit. Here, Visual Studio, I'm going to have to use my touch because the mouse is not working. I have an application that I'm going to run for you real quick. So we're going to run this Neo Tracker application. It's empty right now. It doesn't really do anything. I'm going to put some stuff in there. But essentially, this is using near-Earth objects, a NASA API. We're getting Earth objects around the Earth. They're about to kill us, essentially. So we want to keep track of those. We're going to build a UI so we can actually look at and see some details about this. So here's my page, completely empty page. And the cool thing about the toolkit is, and the sample app is, I can go and see what I like. And for example, I can look at all the controls that we have in there. I have a master details view. It's exactly what it means, is that you click an item, shows you the details of that item. You click it again, shows you details of it. But we also have what the XAML looks like for it. So I can just simply take this, copy it over. Let's go ahead and do that. So I'm a copy-paste developer. I don't know if you heard of us, but there's a small number of us. That's how we do development. I'm going to go and pull in the namespace. And you can see here I can directly pull in the namespace for the control toolkit for the controls from the UWP UI controls. I'm not going to bind to anything. I want to bind to a collection that I have. So I have a quick collection here. It's a collection view source. I'm going to bind to that. And unlike Shen, who is really good at typing, I don't remember anything. So I'm going to use snippets. There we go. I don't care about the foreground. I'm going to go ahead and remove that guy. We have a couple of templates we've got to fill in. We have the item template, what it shows up on the master view. And then we have the master detail view, what shows up on the right side for when you click on the item. And we also have a no selection content template. We don't need this. We're going to use the default and remove that. Here, I just need to set the data type for the binding. I'm going to set this to a near-Earth object. Let me just pull in the namespace for this as well. There we go. So using a WebRocks API. Is it? Oh, rocks. And it's near-Earth object. There we go. I'm going to use the same data type for the other template as well down here, if Visual Studio likes to do that. I don't need these couple elements here. I'm going to change the binding here for name, and we're done with the master view. Let's go ahead and to the details view. I don't need this. I'm going to put a bunch of other stuff in here. There's a cool control that I like in the toolkit that's called the expander. I'm going to use that. It's a really cool control. You can actually have some content. You can expand it. So I'm going to put a bunch of these in there just to see what it looks like. I'm going to pull in the XAML real quick for this. Let's go ahead and copy one of these. There we go. I'm going to put like three of these. So I'm going to put it inside a scroll viewer. And I'm going to put it inside a stack panel. There's one. Let's go ahead and remove all the content from here. There we go. I'm going to change the header so it actually shows something else, like details. I don't need a name, or I don't need to assign any properties on this for now. And I'm going to keep this open so it's expanded. And I'm going to do a few more of these. Let's go ahead and do a few more. I'm going to keep these collapsed at all times. There we go. I'm going to put some share content here so I can share. I'm going to put some more details here, and then we'll see what that is in a second. So let's fill up the first one. There's some cool, I want to put some details here, some basic details. So I'm going to use a control from the toolkit that's essentially allows me to put a header on a text box called the header text box. Makes sense. You don't have to do this yourself. Just go ahead and grab that real quick. Here it is. So we're going to put a couple of these, put them in a stack panel. There we go. Name is perfect, so we're just going to bind to the property on our data model, to the name, done. Let's put one more of these guys, just so we can actually have more than one. I'm going to bind this to is potentially hazardous asteroid. So this tells us if this hazard is dangerous. There we go. Let's go ahead and just use the same name for our header template. That's it. We're done with that expander. Let's move on to the next one. This one's some share buttons, so I actually want to share some content. I have actually snippets for this. So I'm going to move in some buttons in there. There we go, some buttons. And I actually want to share to Facebook. I can do that really easily. Let me just fill in the on-the-click event. The toolkit already provides us the service to do this. So We have some services in here. Check that out. We have Facebook, Twitter, Bing, LinkedIn, Twitter, everything you want to do here. So let's go ahead and use the Facebook service to actually share on Facebook. I'm going to copy some of this code real quick. Here we go. I already have an app ID. Done, and pull the namespace down. Let's make this asynchronous. Let's go ahead and get the clicked event that was clicked. That's it, and let's go ahead and actually share. So if I go back to the toolkit, there's several ways to share. I'm going to use the one with the Facebook dialogue. So I'm going to share using Facebook dialogue. Oops, I need to actually maybe do this. There we go. I'm going to share. I'm going to actually put some text in here that I have. And if you look at here, so I'm going to use the Facebook API to share this. Basically say, check out this asteroids. Don't panic. We're all going to die kind of thing. Let's do the same thing for Twitter. But since we don't have any time, I'm just going to generate the click handler. I'm not going to implement it. So we're going to just leave it like that. And then finally, we're going to have news. And then we have a Bing service, if you noticed on the toolkit. So I'm going to take in a quick list view so I can actually show in some news items about this. And I have here a little function that actually translates the name of the asteroids into a list of news stories. So I'm going to actually implement this into my code behind. Here's just the wrapper for the function that we can use. Takes in a string and returns an enumerable of Bing results. And Bing results comes in from the toolkit. If you actually have that, that's already part of there. And if I go back to the toolkit, let's go back to services. There's a Bing service that essentially just returns a new story. For example, I can do search, this returns a list of stories. There's no API keys, there's no anything like that. So all I need to do is I just need to create a search config and to specify for properties and for the query. So this is going to be just query. And cool thing about this service, actually, instead of returning just a list of news items, you can also return an incremental loading function collection. So you can immediately refresh as I'm scrolling my list. So I can just return that from this function. And that's it. Now, we're almost done, but there's one more thing I want to show you from the toolkit, and that is animations. We have a really cool way to do animations in the toolkit. It's one of my favorites. So go ahead and minimize this. I hope that's OK. We'll find out soon. So here we go. So I'm going to create a little element in here. Just a rectangle. It's about 8 pixel wide, tall rectangle that's going to show the color if it's dangerous or not. If it's dangerous, it's going to be green. If it's going to be red. If it's not dangerous, it's going to be red, et cetera. I'm going to animate that in. And as part of this, I'm going to move this down by one row. Let's move that down. And let's subscribe to the selection changed event on the master details view. And when selection changes, let's go ahead and animate that in. So if I show you the code here real quick. What's cool about this code here is that we have really fluid way to do animations. And you can actually chain animations next to each other. So let's go ahead and just fix some of the namespaces here. Let's pull in. Oops, misspelled that. There we go. I'm going to. Oh, something's wrong with my XAML. You're going to have to look through this. Anyway, let's go ahead. Let me show you the code, and then we can look through it, and then I can just pull in the actual finished project. Here it is. So if you look at here, we have an API that essentially has an element. I can do things like fade.scale are the same thing. It's actually just one line of code, and I can do .dance, so I can actually have a whole fluid API that actually does cool animations there and does this. And I think I'm going to get kicked out of here, and I'm not going to show you the final result.
We want to see the end result.
If this compiles, you're buying me beer.
I'm probably buying you beer either way. This is how it normally works.
It doesn't compile. Wait, I have magics. That's reset.
The magic of Git.
I'm going to reset this. There you go. I'm going to go to a different branch. Yay. And look, magically, all the code is going to work. We're going to have a working code. That's going to be amazing. It's going to be worth it if you guys stayed. Thank you so much. This better run.
You're telling me. All right, while we're waiting for it to run.
No, we're going to wait and we'll look at it while it's compiling. No.
Afterwards, come see one of the speakers. We all have free stickers for you, so. Nikola?
I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix this. I know what the problem is. I'm not. See, this is what happens. When I don't run it on a machine that I own, and I have to run it on your machine.
We've been really pressing you for time, too, so.
You put me last, man. It's all your fault.
Look what they're doing. They're giving us the red light, which means it's basically over.
Yeah, but my app also has a red light. I want to show you the red light in my app. It's going to run this time. I promise you. Yes, it's running. There it is.
Yay.
Thank you.
Exciting conclusion.
So there it is. We have a master detail view, real quick.
Right. Work. Thanks, everyone. That's all the time we have. There's
animation.
Another speaker right after this.
Look at the red animation.
Pick up a sticker at the end.
Whatever.